We'll read Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Amen. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now. Lord, our topic today, we're dealing with the things successful Christians do. And so, Father, I pray that you'd use it today. I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit for service. I pray that you'd open the understanding of all of us here that we might understand the Scriptures. And Lord, I'd pray, may the Holy Spirit fur the hearts of all that are here, that the seed would fall upon good ground and multiply. And Lord, may this not just be a sermon or a lesson that some hear and get up and walk out, but God, may it fall upon good ground and find home there and make a difference. May the lives begin to manifest that something has happened. And now glorify yourself in what's done. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, I want you to know there's things we could go look around at some other things, but I want to take this. But by way of introduction, I want you to know a commitment to the Lord's church. Just think, the Lord's church. Church was God's idea. And then God's son said, I will build my church. Amen. And then the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. You see, if you and I are going to make a commitment to something, let's make a commitment to the organization of God's church. Amen. Because it's the pillar and the ground of truth. And if there's anything that I desire personally every day, I pray and ask God for truth. Truth. The importance of truth. If the Lord started a church, which one was it? If the Lord started a church, then what doctrine did it have? If the Lord started a church and he loved it, then we ought to find that church, make a commitment to that church, because it's the pillar and ground of truth. So God's church is going to have some truth in it. But the Bible says that men will run to and fro from east to west looking for the word of God. So the saved people, they'll know the difference. The religious people will not. The saved people will look for truth. The lost people will just look for religion that satisfies them. Right. As we look at this lesson, I want you to know we all need to start off by making a commitment to the right person, Jesus Christ. Amen. And to the right organization, the church that Christ built. Amen. Now, as we go forth in life, there's things that we find, and we're going to look at those there in those notes that I've given you. Out of Psalm 37, let's begin. Dear God, help us as we go through this. Amen. You'll find me using the word go forth, going forth, going forth. That word is very important to everybody sitting here today. Because if we go forth, then that means we're not going to sit, sulk, and sour. If we're going forth, that means the distractions around us are not holding us back. If we're going forth, that means we've got some purpose in life. Join me as we begin things successful Christians do. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2, we just read it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Right. You know, there's things that you can use in the Bible at times that just shuts people up. And I used to love to be around old crusty Christians that just knew the Word of God. Amen. That verse 2 right there, this old preacher had been talking, and this other guy kept coming and bothering him, and the old guy's finally looked at him and said, "Are you trying to bother me?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm trying to bother you." He said, "Yeah, well," he said, "you can't." He said, "I can't." He said, "No." He said, "Listen, do you know what the Bible says about you? You know, the Bible just talks about you." And of course, the guy was kind of stunned. He said, "Well, what does the Bible say?" He said, "Well, the Bible says this. You'll soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." In other words, you're going to die real soon. You won't even be here anymore. I won't even have to worry about you. So why should I worry about you now when I know that just in a few short days you're going to be dead and gone? Shook the fellow up so bad. He walked off and left him standing there. But it's the truth, isn't it? So the first thing that successful Christians do is we rely upon the Word of God to give us peace in times of turmoil. We rely upon the Word of God to give us stability in times of instability. We rely upon the Word of God to allow us not to be distracted from those that want to distract us from the real things of life. Amen. And so we look, I've got it in red, "For they shall soon be cut down." That's the answer. Look at them and realize, "Hey, jerk, you'll soon be dead. I'm not going to worry about you." That's the truth, isn't it? Amen. You see, successful Christians allow the Word of God to guide their thinking about the conflicts of life, the troubles of life, the relationships of life. Amen. I've seen some guys that loved the Word of God, read the Word of God, knew the Word of God, and they had a stability about them that just absolutely amazed me, especially when I was first saved. I mean, fret, that word fret means, man, don't let yourself get out of control anger. That's what it talks about. It talks about getting hot, right? Fret not. Don't let yourself get out of control angry because of evildoers. See that? Listen, the Bible said be angry and sin not. There's times we need to be angry at sin. But you know, there's times that when somebody wants to come along and just distract us with their attitude, you know, they got an attitude. They act like the north end of a southbound mule, you know. And all that, it's just nothing but distraction. If you learn the Word of God, you can commit that to God and go on about your life. One person said to me, said, have you ever gotten one of them conversations with somebody when you walked away, then you thought about, I should have said this, and I should have said that, and I should have said this, and I should have said that. Yeah, and I should have slapped them upside the head, you know, whatever else. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Of course you have. That's why if you know the Word of God, you'll find something in the Word of God that will allow you to walk away from that and walk away from that.
Amen.
In other words, you might, a lot of people walk away from a conflict, but they don't walk away from the conflict. In other words, they might walk away from the conflict, but man, they still having the conflict and they'll have it for the next two or three days.
Yeah.
Next week, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Well, if you have the Word of God, you can say, well, you know, well, I know something. He'll soon or she'll soon or they'll soon be cut down to the ground and they're going to wither like the grass and the green herb. They'll be gone. That's the truth, isn't it?
Right.
Well, that's the first truth that I want you to grab. Because we're going to look at these other things, things successful Christians do. All right, let's begin working through these. This first one, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Note, the word trust means to be confident and bold. Do good. Move forth. Trust in the Lord and do good. Move forward with confidence and boldness. The only way we can honestly move forward in the Lord's work is to have confidence and boldness for the Lord.
Amen.
If I did not have the confidence that I needed to have, man, I wouldn't do nothing. This church building sure wouldn't look like this. The reality of it is this. As successful Christians trust the Lord as they go about going forward to do good. That trust, that confidence and boldness that you have in the Lord, the confidence that the Lord has guided you to do that. The confidence that the Lord has called me to preach. The confidence that the Lord is willing to open up the Word of God to us. The confidence we need to do what God wants us to do. Go talk to him. Well, like Aaron, Lord, I can't talk. I stutter. I can't talk to him. Who made your tongue? God said to Aaron, who made your tongue? Well, you did. You got Aaron and Moses. Why'd Aaron show up? Because Moses was the one complaining. Lord, I can't talk. I stutter. I this. Well, I'll give you Aaron to talk for you. Listen, if God wants you to do something, have the confidence that God will make it possible for you to do it.
Amen.
I've known men that God called to preach, and they knew that God had called them to preach.
Amen.
But they were blind as a bat.
Yeah.
How are they going to do it? And men I known couldn't read nor write. God called them to preach. They said, how are they going to do it? Well, God worked that out.
Amen.
Listen, The only thing successful Christians have that starts their life is this. They have a confidence in God.
Amen.
You might say, how am I going to work this out? Well, if God wants you to do it, He'll work it out. Have the confidence in God that's needed to do what God wants you to do. Because confidence and boldness hold hands. Confidence and boldness go together. If I've got the confidence to do it, God will give me the boldness to do it. I invited one fellow when I was making those trips behind the Iron Curtain back when the days of the old communist bloc. And this one preacher was talking to me, even called me over in Germany a couple of times. And I told him, I said, well, why don't you just come over with me and make a trip with me? His response was instant. No. He said, I can't do that. I said, don't you have confidence in God? He said, I do. He said, but I don't have no confidence in me. I said, well, that's good. You got it right. But you got it wrong. I said, none of us should have confidence in ourselves in that sense. But confidence in God.
Amen.
Goes from here to the moon and back.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Wow. What a challenge that is. That's what successful Christians do. They trust in the Lord, and then they go out to do good. The good that God wants them to do. The difference between having a God of your own making and the God of the Bible is confidence. To go forward, go forth, to do good, to do that which God wants you to do. Now, if we're going to trust the Lord and go forth, how shall we go forth? Shall we go forth in arrogance? Shall we go forth in pride? Let's see. Look at verse 4 now. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, two things. The word delight means to be soft towards God, not arrogant or self-willed, but dependent upon God. Delight thyself in the Lord. Man, be soft toward God. And that little statement right there, and he shall give thee the desires. That's that were same words for petitions. Your prayers of your heart. See, successful Christians go forth humbly. So verse 3, we go forth. Verse 4, we go forth humbly before God. Delight means to be soft towards God, not arrogant. Listen, and he shall give thee the desires, in other words, the petitions of your heart. What's in your heart today? What's in your heart today? If I was to ask you to give me, boy, the petitions of your heart, the prayers of your heart, what would you say today? If the Lord was to ask you today, what's the petitions of your heart? What would you say? Oh, my goodness. Well, the Bible says that the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever has the priority in your heart, that's what your mouth is going to say. Do you humbly make your petitions before God? Successful Christians approach God with a dependency upon Him. They approach God softly, tenderly, dependently. They approach God not with arrogance, not with pride, not with prestige. No. The only confidence they have is in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that has washed all their sins away and made it possible for them to approach God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just think about that. You see, successful Christians, what do? They have a prayer life that works. God answers their prayers. Things successful Christians do. Man, God answers their prayers. They pray. The desires of their heart are to bring glory and honor to God. The desires of their heart is to see souls saved, lives changed, men and women. Boy, their lives changed. The desire of their heart is to see glory and honor brought to God. Bible says the Lord gets glory in the church. That's why it's so important that we in the church bring glory and honor to God.
Amen.
The third thing, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The word commit means to roll your path, your future, over into the Lord's hands and the Lord's will. So here we got now, verse 3, we had go forth. Verse 4, we had go forth humbly. Now we've got go forth with understanding and commitment. We might say, let's go forth with undistracted commitment. Undistracted commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. These verses I've used for years and a few others. They've been the guidepost of my life personally. I've known others that's hung on to these verses, boy, with both hands. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. You know, when God shows us something, when I first walked into this building, we were going to start this project. I was asked, one man asked me, how are you going to do this? And my response was pristine. I said, I don't know. I just knew this, that God said, do it. That's all. So I committed this unto Him. And guess what He did? He started putting it all together.
Amen.
And there'd be days I'd be out here working by myself. I'd just have to sit down. Sometimes I'd laugh. Sometimes I'd cry. Sometimes I'd just get up and shout because I'm looking at this and it's all getting done. I'm thinking, God, you're wonderful. Amen. It's amazing what God can do. Amen. But here's what it takes. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is trusting in things you can't see. To trust God means, God, I can't do it, I can't see it, but I'm going to trust you to bring it about. I'm going to trust you to make it work. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? He shall bring it to pass. See that? He, not me, he, not you, he, not us, he. You see that? Successful Christians learn to commit things to the Lord. That way they can have an undistracted commitment to whatever they're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, in this life in which we live, we've got multitudes of things that want to distract us from the main thing. Things that distract us from the work of God. Things that distract us from our prayer life. Things that distract us from our studying of the Word of God. I heard a fellow just the other day. He said the biggest problem with American preachers is the television. He said if the American preacher would shut the television off, he'd get a lot more studying done. His preaching would have a lot more quality to it. What a truth. Roll your path and your future over into the Lord's hands and the Lord's will. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He shall bring it to pass. I've lived that verse for years and years and years. There's times I didn't know which way to go, and I just committed it unto the Lord and left the rest of it in his hands. And he did it. Amen. So successful Christians, they trust in the Lord. They delight themselves in the Lord. They commit their way unto the Lord. See that? And they commit their way unto the Lord. Why? Because they want to go forth with undistracted commitment. That might sound like a statement to you, but to the person that wants to follow God 100%, give it all to the Lord. Amen. The last thing that person wants is a distraction in their life. Look at verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. What's that mean? That means you're going to go forth knowing that God knows the truth about everything. I put a note there, you'll be vindicated. Listen, when God's will goes to work in your life, don't expect the people around you to understand it. Because they're not you, and you're not them.
Right.
One of the biggest tragedies in God's work is this, that God's man, God's woman, God's people, that's going to live and function under the guiding hand of God. They want the people around them to understand what's going on in their life. It didn't work that way. God hadn't told them what's going on in your life. Your life has got to be between you and God. Period. And when your life gets between you and God, don't expect the people around you to understand it. You just go forth. Because what'll happen in the end, you will be vindicated. They will find out. God knows the truth. And that's all that counts. The reality of it. We might want to judge somebody else's motive with just somebody else's action. We don't understand it. But I want you to know something. When it's done in the direction of God, the hand of God, the person of God will always be vindicated. You see, things successful Christians do, they trust in the Lord, even though those around them might not understand that.
Amen.
They delight themselves in the Lord, and they pray to God, and they have a prayer life that works, and the people around them might not understand that. They commit their way unto the Lord so that they can go forward undistracted with an undistracted commitment. And then they find that regardless of what the people say or do around them, they will one day be vindicated in the fact that they have followed God. Look at verse 7. Now in verse 7, watch this now. So we've got verse 3, they go forth. Verse 4, they go forth humbly. Verse 5, they go forth with undistracted commitment. All right? I mean, that's verse 5. And verse 6, they go forth knowing that God knows the truth. Verse 7, they go forth with calm patience. Now that is really good. Let's talk about this. Verse 7 says, this is Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. So we've got trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And here's that word, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest means to be quiet, to stand still and wait for him. Wait for him to part the waters. Rest in the Lord. To go forth with calm patience. Wait patiently for him. The one tragic thing that's happened, especially in America, is this. So many churches, so many pastors, so many Christians, so-called, man, they want it to happen yesterday. They want it to happen right now. When God's not going to do it right now. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, successful Christians, one of the things they do, they have the ability to wait on the Lord. To let God make the time right. We want so often to make something happen. We want to make something happen. We want to see something happen. When in all reality, we need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him to make something happen.
Amen.
Now that's what successful Christians do. They have the ability. Now watch this. They're going to trust in the Lord. Then they're going to delight in the Lord. And He shall give them the desires of their heart. So that successful Christian that's trusting God is going to be a prayerful person. And that person then is going to commit their way unto the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? I'm going to roll my path over onto you. I'm going to roll my future onto you. What do you want me to do now? I'm trusting in you. I'm praying to you. I've committed my way unto you. And now I'm going to rest in the Lord. Now watch this. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for God. Listen, we frustrate ourselves so often because we want God to do it now. We bring frustration into our lives. We bring all kinds of trouble, turmoil, headache, heartache, all kinds of pain because we try to make it happen without God. Successful Christians don't do that. Successful Christians wait on their God to do that. Successful Christians have a calmness about them, have an assurance about them, have a kindness about them, have an appreciation about them. Those successful Christians have the ability to live like a Christian, dress like a Christian, talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, but most of all, they got the ability to leave it all in God's hands.
Amen.
And rest in the Lord.
Amen.
I can just see Israel coming up to the Dead Sea. Moses stand there and said, stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. Now if that had been a bunch of modern day preachers, man, they'd already been trying to find some bushes, sticks and wood to build a bridge. Man, I'm not waiting on God. I'm going to try to find something to build me a boat. We're getting out of here. But when you stand still and let God work, amazing things happen.
Amen.
Listen, God will put people in your life for a purpose. They'll come into your life, they'll fulfill the purpose, and then they're gone again. God didn't put them in your life to be a permanent fixture. He put them in your life to be part of your life for a little while, to let you know that God's alive and well.
Amen.
You want a good example? I walked into this building. It was time for us to start tearing things apart, but we hadn't started yet. And I thought to myself, all right, God, what you going to do? Well, at that time, Sam Habush was here. And Sam said, what about Zach Souder's dad? He's a concrete guy and it's winter. He ain't working. So Zach Souder's dad come over here and went to work. You're sitting in a lot of his work. And I thought to myself, God, you sent these people over here to help us, and when it's done, they're going to be gone. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you understand God's economy, when you understand how God works, things successful Christians do, they do those things because they understand how God works. How God does things. And when you understand that, it allows you to stay calm and just go on because you know God's doing something. I mean, the Lord started providing the people we needed. And I just sat back and said, all right, keep on going. So I just kept on doing what I could do. Lord brought people in here to do what they did. You see how it works? Successful Christians do that. Right. I've told you and told you and told you and told you many times. I'm going to tell you one more time. I've told you about the elderly lady that sat out next to the tundra in the Soviet Union. And winter was coming. She had her chimney covered up. And she just went outside and sat down and prayed. Lord, I need somebody to uncover this chimney up here. Winter's coming. And she just sat there and kept waiting, praying. If you'd ask her, what you doing? She said, I'm waiting for God to send somebody by to take that chimney thing off. And she looked way out across the tundra and saw a fellow out there about that big. And he kept on walking and he kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally he walked right straight up to her. And without her saying anything, he said, you want me to take that off the chimney for you? Yes. He took it off. She said, thank you, Lord. And thank you. And he went on down the road. Never seen him again. You see, that's what successful Christians do. They wait on the Lord. They rest in the Lord. Things I've wanted done, needed done, God does it. Every time I've tried to do it, mess it up. Right. Things successful Christians do, they trust, they delight, they commit, they rest in the Lord. Watch verse 8 now. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Man, get yourself under control. Go forth not letting the things disturb and distract you. We got go forth humbly, go forth with undistracted commitment. Go forth knowing that God knows the truth. Go forth with calm patience. Now we got go forth not letting the things disturb and distract you. Watch this, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say those that do this and this and that. It said those that wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
Successful Christians have a calmness about them.
Amen.
Listen. Let me put it like this. You want God to work in somebody's life. You want God to get praise. You want God to do something. Here's what you do. You trust in the Lord. You delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You become a praying person.
Amen.
And then just commit your way unto the Lord. And then rest in the Lord to do what you've asked him to do. That's what you want, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, let your requests and petitions be made known unto the Lord.
Amen.
We think if God doesn't answer our prayer within 48 hours, he didn't hear it. No, no. No, no. God will work in his own time. Successful Christians have learned. Successful Christians do this. They pray with confidence that God heard and that God's going to answer that prayer in his time, not their time. And they're satisfied with that. We don't want to be satisfied with that. Man, we want it to happen today, yesterday. Now, that's it. Come on, God, wake up. Wake up, God. I'm down here, I'm talking. You should need to be listening. Successful Christians don't do that.
Amen.
The reason they've got a calmness about them is because they can accept the will of God. They can accept the timing of God. And like I said in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way wise to do evil. You see that? Now all of a sudden somebody can do evil. Why do you want to do evil? Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You want to tell something to some wicked person? Read that to him. Write that verse down on a 3x5 card and hand it to him. You being troubled by some lost, hell-bound sinner? If Jesus were to look at him and say, ye are of your father the devil, write that verse down on a 3x5 card and hand it to him. Say, here, God, I found a verse in the Bible that God said, don't worry about him. He's right here. Hand that to him. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You see, the successful Christian has the ability to look at the Word of God and be satisfied with the Word of God.
Amen.
Why do I want to get myself all tore up? Why do I want to get all stressed out? Why do I want all this drama in my life? When God tells me, you're only going to be here for a little while, then you're dead and gone. Your place is going to be empty at the table. Consider his place and it shall not be. God's telling me, I'm looking for you and you don't even have no place no more. You're gone. You see, successful Christians allow the Word of God to control their emotions. When I look at somebody, I'm in a ministry. You talk about backstabbing scoundrels. Man, I've been in overload with those people. The only thing that brings me sanity is this. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be.
Praise the Lord.
Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In other words, I need to diligently consider what's going to happen.
Amen.
And when I do that, I can go on. I can go on. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay.
Amen.
But most of us, when we get offended, we're going to talk about it for the next 5 years. And then at the end of the 5 years, we'll renew our vows and start again.
Yeah.
Won't we? He done this. She done that. Listen, successful Christians do not allow themselves to be distracted.
Amen.
With that stuff.
Amen.
Drama's a part of life.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Either you're going to let the drama distract you from the things of God, and you never will grow spiritually like that.
Right.
Are you just going to throw it aside? And people will look at you and say, are you going to let them get away with that? Are you going to let him say that? Yeah. As long as they don't touch me.
Amen.
If he touched me, he's going to need new arms, new legs, new false teeth. You see the reality of it, folks? Successful Christians live a life. The focus is not the drama of life. The focus is the God of the universe.
Amen.
Watch this. Drop down to Psalm 37, 23 and 24 there in the notes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. Now, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, good man, it talks about a soldier. It talks about a hero. It talks about a strong man. It talks about a committed man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see that? Now the path that God wants us to walk, it might not necessarily be the path we want. But if it's God's path, that's all that counts.
Amen.
There's things that amaze me. I mean, when you look at men like the Apostle Paul, how'd he die? As a martyr in Rome, didn't he? Lord, why would you want Paul, the writer of the New Testament, to die in a Roman prison getting his head cut off? Well, that's my will for him. Does that make any sense to you? It really don't, does it? But you see, God's ways are not our ways.
Amen.
His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Right.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Living in God's will. The successful Christian lives in the will of God.
Amen.
Now look at this. Look at verse 24. This is amazing. Though he fall, Now, that word fall is the same word for fail. In other words, I started a business and it just fell apart. You know, the word fall, right? I tried to do this, so it talks about failing. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
In other words, God's going to order the steps of this man, and this man is going to go through a failure in his life, though he fall. My family fell apart. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord shall upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
You see, the successful Christian knows this. I'm going to fail God, but God is going to hold me up anyway.
I'm
though he fall, he's not going to be able to cast down. Listen, I know I'm going to have my up days, my down days, my crash days, and everything else. But I know this, that God is going with his hand, he's going to just raise me right back up.
Amen.
I might fall apart, but God's not going to let me depart.
Amen.
He's going to lift me back up. You see, the successful Christian has a God that's going to direct his steps, however it may be. And though he emotionally might fall, though he might fail in an endeavor, the one thing about it, God is not going to abandon him. God is going to do what? Upholdeth him with his hand. When you know that God is going to help you succeed, when you know that God is going to hold you up with his hand,
amen,
what a blessing that is.
Amen.
There's one thing about all of us sitting in this room today. Welcome to the human race.
Amen.
I don't care how good you are, you're not good enough. But I know this. Successful Christians, they trust in the Lord. They delight theirself in the Lord. And they go to him in prayer. Verse 4. They commit their way unto the Lord. Lord, I want to go here. But if you want me to go there, I will. You see, they understand commitment. They rest in the Lord. What a blessing that is. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're going to live in God's will. And even though in their humanity, when they fall, they're not going to completely fall, because God is going to raise them up. I want to close with this. I've known men, boy, that, I mean, they just done everything wrong. And God just kept saying, come on, you got to learn, you got to learn. Come on. They raise them back up, they go at it again. And God raised them up. I'll tell you this true story. I'm done. I have mentioned it a long time. It's just that I know it to be true. But when we was in South Carolina, when I was teaching at the Citadel there in South Carolina, this guy started a construction business. Remember that story, some of you? He started that construction business and started tithing. And, boy, everything was fine. He was doing fine, Man, he was tithing $500 a week, then $600 a week, then $1,000 a week. And finally, he got the tithing so much he went and told the secretary. He said, "You do it. You do it." And he got the tithing so much, man, he just couldn't handle it. And so he stopped. Lost the business totally. Fell flat on his face. The fall. So God put him back together. He started again. Same thing happened. Third time around, he just resolved this. He said, "I'm going to live off a tenth, and God gets all the rest." He told his secretary. She said, "Now, wait a minute. I've worked for you twice, and you've taken this thing all the way down to the dirt. What are you going to do this time?" He said, "This time you pay me a tenth, give God all the rest." Boy, his business boomed. Man, he was building freeways and everything all over South Carolina. You see, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Successful Christians, they fail at times. But in the end, they always succeed. Why? Because God raises them up. See that? So know this. As a successful Christian, God is going to direct our step, and God's going to uphold us when we fall down.
Amen.
You might say that was a rough road, but the truth is this. In life, I've learned this for sure. We grow on the bumps in the road. You know that? Ladies and gentlemen, do this. These are things successful Christians do. If you want to be a successful Christian, remember something. God isn't going to do it all for you. You've got to be a participant in the work. Some people say, "Well, Lord, do this, do that." He'll say, "All right, pick up your shovel. We'll do it." Right? Be a participant. Successful Christians have learned to participate in the work of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You get it?
Amen.
May all of you have it in your heart to become a successful Christian for the glory of God.
Amen.
And I close with this. Now listen to me. You've come to a church this morning. You're sitting in a church this morning. You heard the Sunday school this morning. You just heard the preaching service this morning while you're sitting in a church. And the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it.
Praise the Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first step in living a successful Christian life is going to be your commitment to the Lord's church. Let's all stand, if you would please, as we go to the Lord in prayer.